Well, Super Tuesday came and went, but despite the media hyperventilation, it was more of a super letdown, frankly. Now, there is a bit of a debate over whether Mitt Romney won or lost by clinching six states yesterday. Although it's hard to imagine that someone could win the most delegates, the most states, and the big prize of Ohio, and still come out of it bloodier and more bruised than when the day began. The former Massachusetts governor lost to Rick Santorum in Tennessee, Oklahoma, and North Dakota. Newt Gingrich won his home state of Georgia, the state that he used to represent in Congress. And Ron Paul, well, there were high hopes, but not a single win for the Texas congressman. Now, the Paul campaign has been focused on picking up delegates in low turnout caucus states. But despite an all-out push in North Dakota, Idaho, and Alaska last night, the three states that are well known for their strong libertarian streaks, Ron Paul, well, essentially came away empty-handed. But still, the congressman says he's not defeated, he's vowing to push on, and his approach may not be enough to win the nomination. So what is the congressman after? Well, for that answer, I'm joined by Brian Doherty. He's a senior editor at Reason Magazine. He's also the author of the upcoming book, Ron Paul's Revolution, The Man and the Movement He Inspired. Welcome, Brian. It's great to have you back on the program. Now, can we read last night's election results as anything but a major disaster for the Ron Paul campaign?
Well, it's a disaster for the goal of actually winning the GOP nomination this year. And despite what some people say, Ron Paul did hope to and intend to have that victory. But unlike the other candidates, he can win something without actually winning the nomination. And what that thing he can win is what he's been working to build his entire political career, which is a lively, activist, engaged movement for his libertarian ideas. So I think his ability to march on to the end, which he does have, he'll be able to continue to fundraise. He does probably have more delegates in the bag than most people are reporting, because many of those caucus states, those straw poll results are non-binding. What the delegates actually end up doing is something that remains to be seen. So as long as he can still be in there fighting, still gather fans, still have a public voice as a presidential candidate, he can build things for the future that will benefit him and the cause that he's fighting for.
And you think that despite you've written essentially about how, you know, Ron Paul can still plausibly claim to be the most viable alternative to Romney, saying that he still has the money, the fundraising ability, as well as that nationwide infrastructure to keep competing until the Republican convention in August. But if he hasn't won a single state so far, won't that money and that support dry up?
No, it won't, actually. Since Ron Paul, unlike the other candidates, does stand for a set of ideas that people are passionate about, and you saw this in 2008 as well, as long as Ron Paul still wants to be in there fighting, and as long as Ron Paul is still asking his people to support him, he'll be able to do that. I do want to add, however, that Santorum's bizarre rise and ability to keep winning states complicates that narrative entirely. A lot of Ron Paul's hopes early in the season relied on the notion that Gingrich and Santorum would be knocked out pretty quickly by Romney, and that didn't happen, which is why things have not been as bright for Paul as they should have been. I think looking at what happened in Virginia yesterday is an interesting sign of what this race might have been like if those two had disappeared. Ron Paul actually got 41% of the vote in Virginia, the state nearest the Beltway, which, again, while it doesn't add up to a victory in the presidential race, is a very encouraging sign for what Paul and his ideas can and will mean for the Republican Party moving forward in later elections.
Well, speaking of Paul and his ideas, one of the things that sort of stood out to me from some of the exit polls was sort of this question about whether he may be reaching for the wrong types of voters. Because if you look at the exit polls from yesterday, he's actually doing really well among liberals. In Vermont, for example, Romney did beat Paul 40-26%, but Paul got 42% of the Democratic vote, 38% of independents. In Ohio, he seemed to do best among those voters who strongly oppose the Tea Party, which is a movement that he's been, you know, sort of labeled the grandfather of. So my question is, how can Paul argue for influence over the Republican Party if it's not clear that his followers will vote Republican?
Yeah. 2 points I want to get at with this. One, that it's very good to remind people who are interested in the larger future of Paul's ideas, which is, you know, what I'm interested in, to note that how well he does amongst GOP primary and caucus voters, who are a very narrow slice of the American electorate, is not necessarily the best sign of how lively and effective his ideas will be. As to why he does what he does within the Republican Party, well, there's systematic barriers in America, and ideological barriers as well, toward third-party success. No matter how popular your ideas are, there are so many Americans who just simply will not step outside the Democratic or Republican reservation. So anyone wanting to push these ideas has to do what Ron did, which is sort of attach himself to the machinery of one of the major parties. And as to why it was the Republican Party, well, historically and rhetorically, dating back to the Goldwater era and the Reagan era, the Republican Party has talked the best game about Ron Paul's core issues of limiting government spending, limiting taxation. So it seemed like the natural place for him to make a run. But we are in fact seeing, especially with his sensible foreign policy, that it's a little bit too sensible for many Republican voters. And I think that's the core ideological problem he faces with Republicans, is they are way too jingoistic about this notion that America needs to run the world. But there is a sizable constituency out there in America for these ideas. It just may not be concentrated all in one party. So what a future politician pushing Paul's ideas has to do, actually leaving those two parties is not really a choice, but he has to be able to run a campaign that deliberately tries to appeal to the independent voters and Democrats who are willing to cross party lines. And that independent bloc really is going to be the key to America's political future, because actual strong partisan identification on a national level is getting weaker and weaker. Unfortunately, when it comes to voting in party primaries and caucuses, the independents don't always come out.
Interesting. Well, and let's talk about very briefly sort of these ideas. I mean, when Paul, you know, this is his third run for the White House. Even back in 2008, he was sort of dismissed as this fringe, you know, crazy type of guy whose ideas didn't really resonate with the mainstream. How do you see the country changing in terms of his ideas resonating perhaps more?
I think the most important data point on that is to see that when you compare how well he did in a given state this year versus how well he did in 2008, he's always doing better. In most cases, he's doubling or more his vote total. So just on that very basic level, you are seeing that more and more people are willing to come out to a primary caucus and pull the lever for Ron Paul. The key to how his ideas will influence the future really relies on how right you think he is, because the core of his message is that American governmental overreach overseas, our overreach in monetary policy, our overreach in taxing, our overreach in spending is leading us to the edge of a debt crisis that is going to be really crushing and awful and even worse than the economic crisis we've been living through for the last 4 years, which Ron Paul warned us about, by the way. Mm-hmm. So if Ron Paul is correct about any of those things, politicians are going to have to grasp onto his ideas. They're going to have to realize, yeah, we really can't keep deficit spending, you know, trillions every year. We actually do have to cut spending. We actually have to rethink what government's purpose is. We have to realize we can't be the policemen of the world. This retrenchment has to happen. And if it doesn't happen because people actually listen to Ron Paul and agree, hey, you make sense, you saw this coming, it's going to happen because reality is going to force it to happen. America is going to end up in a situation like we're seeing in the European Union now, where the debt crisis really just becomes unmanageable. And then I think Ron Paul will seem a lot more prescient to more people than he does even now.
And of course, by then it might be a little bit too late. But very briefly, do you see his role in the race right now? Has that already shifted at all, the rhetoric coming out of the other Republican candidates perhaps? Has that had an influence in terms of his ideas sort of seeping into the debate?
The direct point where you can see that happening the most is about the Federal Reserve and monetary policy. Ron Paul used to pretty much be literally the only politician who seemed to even know what the Federal Reserve was. He's been, you know, inveighing against it his entire career. Now, earlier in the campaign, you had Rick Perry, you know, calling Ben Bernanke a traitor, Newt Gingrich talking the Ron Paul line. You know, hundreds of Republican politicians are writing letters to Ben Bernanke telling him not to do any more of this quantitative easing. I would say on monetary policy, his influence has been obvious. focus. On foreign policy, his influence sadly seems to be nil. Every other candidate still seems to think it's our job to, you know, turn the entire world to democracy. On fiscal and taxing matters, most Republicans are good about holding the line on raising taxes, but Ron Paul has been the most serious about offering a budget that had $1 trillion cuts in 1 year and a three-year path to a balanced budget without raising any taxes. And the other candidates are going to have to follow his line on that if the the Republican Party is to survive.
All right. Well, interesting. And it'll be interesting to see how this conversation is going to change if we are back here in 2016 talking about sort of the shift in the country. Thank you so much for your time. That was Brian Doherty, senior editor of Reason Magazine and also the author of an upcoming book, Ron Paul's Revolution, The Man and the Movement He Inspired.